Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome this morning. Welcome this morning. Again, we just want to be open to the Spirit and allow Him to do what He wants to do. Amen. And again, for those that did walk in a little bit late, we've just had some issues with COVID and car accidents this morning that we didn't have our worship team. So praise God. We did a cappella. How was that for you today? Amen. Again, catch that. There's something God wants to show us in the midst of all that. He wants us to show. Wants to show us. Wants us to see that as we come together in His name, man, we really don't need anything else. I need Jesus, and actually, I need you. I need you to worship God with me. There's a dynamic that happens when we're together, and so that was good. That was good. And again, we believe that God does move, and we'll be talking today about Acts chapter 2 and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's why we want to allow spontaneous things to happen. We had Tom came up here. That's the first time you got up and did that, right? That's the first time. Amen. First time. He took a risk today. Feeling God spoke. So we honor that. Taking risks. Take risk to see God move in supernatural ways. And what I just did, we're believing that's supernatural. It'll be judged. It'll be judged by the future. So, but you have to be willing to do that. So welcome. Welcome this morning. We do have a few things going on. But first thing, I just have some exciting things, news to share. And our own Jess Jackson. Jess, if you could just stand up where you are. Okay, Jess is now the children's director for the whole church, all four campuses. Amen. Give her a hand. And Jess, to me, like I said, it's the gifting is obvious that you have. We've been blessed by it and your passion. But I mean, there's a passion, but you also are blessed with administration. Amen. Most of us don't have that combination, like myself, right? And again, but we're just praying that God is going to use you in a wider range. Like there's wider influence the Father's going to use for you. So James, can you just stand up with us? We're just going to pray for you guys right now. And Father, we just lift up this couple, Lord God, again, that has put themselves in position, Lord Jesus, to be able to be used by you. But that means sacrificial. It's going to be sacrificial. They're going to be doing traveling around on Sundays, which means they're going to miss stuff. And God, bless them. Anoint them for the moment. Strengthen their marriage. We expect turmoil. I expect the devil to try to bring turmoil into your lives in a greater degree. So be aware. We're going to be aware of that. We're not going to let it happen. We recognize what it is. We break those schemes. Thank you, God, for allowing us to walk and grow in anointing. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Bless God. We're excited about that. And it's good to see Quentin and Hannah walk into the room. Amen, amen. They just came in, and you're okay. Hallelujah. So, amen, amen. Anthony, what are you saying to him, Anthony? What'd you just do to me, right? That's what you're saying to Quentin. What'd you just do to me? Amen. Okay, now listen, a couple other things just before we get into the message. First is prayer and fasting. You know, we set this week aside. This is a week of prayer and fasting. It starts today, 1 week. We're asking you to abstain from something that means something, whether it be food or whether it be social media, whether it be all the above, one meal a day, whatever. The purpose of the fast is that it would eliminate these things that are so distracting that you would then focus on God. All right, keep it simple. All right, keep it simple. You know, most of us eat a couple times a day anyway. All right, some of us eat constantly. So, but the point is to put time aside. When I would be eating, the idea is I'm going to focus on Him. I believe God just wants us to draw closer. The point is to draw closer to know my heart melded with His. And we pray outside of ourselves, not just praying for me and mine, but I'm praying for the kingdom of God. All right. Also, along with that, there are prayer times throughout the week at various campuses. And ours we'll be praying here at Brighton Heights on Wednesday at 7. It's just prayer. We're coming in to pray for 1 hour. All right. If you want to come be part of that, or you could be part of any of those at the other campuses. Okay, so be aware of that. And, of course, that's going to culminate on Saturday with a power conference. You'll be hearing more about that. And a worship night. Saturday night's going to be a blowout worship night at North Braddock with the whole church at 6 p.m. Okay, we're just going to come before the Lord after fasting. And it is going to be great. Amen. I'm really looking forward to that. If you are one, you're saying, man, God, I am just looking for direction. I'm looking for prophetic direction. Or you're looking for physical healing. Come on out. Come on out, because we're going to be making those things focal points that evening. Amen? All right, right now, let's prepare for the message. If we could have the
Acts 17:6. Those who have turned the world upside down have come here also.
Amen. When you turn to Acts chapter 2, just turn to Acts chapter 2 as we get rolling here. You know, we're in the second part of our Acts series. And one of the coolest scriptures in the book of Acts, you're not going to turn there right now, but it's out of Acts chapter 17, verse 6. Acts 17, 6. Okay? And this is what it's spoken about, the new believers, and as the Holy Spirit just fell. It says, these men have turned the world upside down. Upside down. There was something truly epic that happened in the book of Acts. And what we want to do in this series, we want to get a deeper understanding of the purpose and the power in the early church and how it progressed. The purpose and power in the early church. That's why we want to look at this. And we want to see what can we learn about this. You know, because this should affect us now. I mean, the role of the Holy Spirit in the history of the church. And what does a fully devoted follower of Jesus look like? When I look at the book of Acts, I think of a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. In our vision statement here at Bridge City, our vision statement is we exist that as many people as possible could begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus, disciples. All right, the book of Acts speaks what that would look like. I absolutely believe that. This is the greatest example we have, apart from Jesus himself, of what it means to be a devoted follower of Jesus. And of course, it's the book of Acts. It's a book of action. It speaks of action. It reveals that the early church, think about this, they were radical culture changers. Radical. It was radical what went on in the first century, in those first few decades. I mean, it was literally life changing. Think about this. And over the first 300 years, it literally changed the world. Changed the world in the way things were done and changed the Roman Empire itself. And of course, what that tells me, though, is if they changed their environment in such a radical way, we should be changing our environment. There should be something happening through us if we're following God the exact way, because the book of Acts really hasn't ended. Amen? It's still happening. It's still being written. You're writing a book of Acts in your own life. You're writing a book. Okay, now some of you are thinking, well, it's a pretty short book if it's my book, right? But that's why we're here. We're here that your book is more than three paragraphs, right? That's the point. We want to be people who truly can God can look at and say, there's a daughter I'm proud of. There's a son that I'm proud of. Right? That's what I desire for you. That's what I live for. Now, again, we should be affecting our environment. Maybe it won't be as dramatic as what we read in here, but it should be profound. There should be some profound things happening. And I want you to know that as we go through this, though, we're not out to modify your behavior. I mean, that is not my intent. My intent is not to make this a behavior modification thing. My intent is not that you feel guilty because you're not talking to people about Jesus. That's not the intent. That's not what we're looking to do here. I mean, there's a tendency whenever you start talking about these things and reaching the world, this tension starts inside of us that, man, I got to do something or else God's upset with me. I need to do something or God's disappointed in me. That's not the point. Listen, this series is not to make you feel guilty. It's that you would see the possibilities that are available to you. What are the possibilities available to you? Think about that. It's a book of possibilities. And I want you to look at this that same way. This is not behavior modification. It's spiritual possibilities. And we're about to read Acts chapter 2. We did the first chapter last week. We're doing Acts chapter 2. And this is where the Holy Spirit is unleashed from heaven, all right, and turned the world upside down. The power that Jesus spoke of last week in chapter 1 is being spilled out in chapter 2. That's what we're going to be looking at. But I want you to know that you have the same possibility to receive the Spirit on a daily basis that they had in the book of Acts. Somebody say amen. All right? Now, there are prerequisites. There are prerequisites that is happening. The first one is you got to believe it. Because what you believe produces behavior. So we're not out to change your behavior. I'm out to change what you believe. Do we really believe the message? Do we really believe the message? Last week I mentioned how for myself, I believe roller coasters are safe for you. I don't believe they're safe for me. Okay. Which means I really don't believe they're safe. Okay. But again, I'm perfectly fine. You get on there. Amen. I'm even okay with my grandkids getting on there. All right, but me, nope, no, which means I really don't believe it. Most of us, when it comes to our faith in Jesus Christ and reaching out to the world, we're that way. We say we believe, but really we don't. But we'll believe for other people. We believe they can do it, but we don't believe we can. So really when it catches, I mean, the foundation stone, as I read the book of Acts, and even in our walk with God, is the foundation stone is, do you believe he is who he says he is? Do you believe it? Is it ingrained? Because we keep saying, yes, I do, but then we act like, no, we don't. Right? And so again, God, take us deeper. Take me a little deeper. Draw me a little closer. I want to know your heart. Amen? Man, that's what we want. That song's a cry of my heart, that I would know him more, that I want to know him deeper than I do now. But man, we've got to settle this. Our faith in Jesus as God and Savior and loving and gracious Lord is where we begin this trek as we look at the book of Acts. Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you, and God, we thank you for the example that we have in the book of Acts. Thank you, Lord, for the detail that it is. And God, open us up right now that you would build our faith. God, we would see there's possibilities for me to live a life that matters, all for the glory of the King. Amen? Amen. Now, again, I'm thankful for the book of Acts. I'm thankful for Luke writing it. We mentioned this last week. You know, Luke was one who wrote with a lot of detail. And I appreciate the detail. It helps us identify things historically, which to me adds validity to the whole story of Jesus Christ. And if you ever want to, again, just if you have a moment, you can look back to Luke chapter 1, the first couple verses, and Luke talks about who he is and what he's trying to do. Like he's trying to communicate with a very accurate account that everyone would be able to read and understand what was happening. And last week, we left the disciples in a season of prayer at the end of chapter 1. And through chapter 1, just going to highlight a couple things here. Jesus told them to wait, stay in Jerusalem till this baptism of the Holy Spirit happened. And then Jesus ascended before their eyes, which literally means before their eyes, he was standing on the ground and suddenly just rose up to heaven. Okay, that would get your attention, wouldn't it? Right? Okay, that would get your attention. So they watched this happen. He told them they returned to Jerusalem, like he said, to pray and wait. There were about 120 of them there. And by studying the Old Testament, we see that they came to the conclusion that they should replace Judas as one of the disciples. So they took care of that. And again, man, I appreciate these details that Luke gives us. Okay, and that brings us to chapter 2. They're in the upper room. They're praying. Let's look at verse 1. And it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. One place. Okay, first, you know, what is Pentecost? What is it? Well, Pentecost doesn't have, we hear that word if you've been in church a long time. It doesn't have a spiritual meaning. It means 50. Okay, it means 50. All right, which is 50 days. Pentecost happened 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Okay, Jesus was crucified on the day of, or he rose from the dead on the day of First Fruits. 50 days later, Pentecost happened. These were Jewish festivals that they celebrated. What it actually is the festival of first fruits, the feast of first fruits, simply was when the first barley harvest came in. Remember, they were supposed to tithe, give the first tenth to the Lord. They couldn't consume anything until they brought the first tenth, which truly it was a true act of faith. Right? We talk about tithing now, giving the first of your paycheck. But for them, it was giving the first ten. It's like, okay, I'm giving this harvest, the first ten I'm giving, okay, believing that the other 90 is going to come in. And then at the end, it's called the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, 50 days later, they celebrated the end of the harvest. All right, and actually they brought the first fruits of the wheat harvest in at that time. And because it's the end of the harvest, it's more lush. It's not as Spartan as the first feast. It's a big deal, okay, for this feast of weeks, this end of the harvest. So that's what's happening. So you got to catch the meaning of what this all would mean for the Jews in context here. Okay, so again, thankful for all this. Also, we know that the guys were in the upper room for 10 days. How do we know that? But it says that Jesus walked with them. In Acts chapter 1, it says Jesus walked with them for 40 days after he rose from the dead. very specific, 40 days. Well, Pentecost is 10 days after that. So figure they were in the room, they were praying, they were diligent for 10 days. 10 days, they're praying, waiting for whatever is going to happen at this time. So it says the believers were together. And one thing I just want to make, because this believers together just remind me of this. Last week we spoke about how to make good decisions. How do you make spiritual decisions when you don't know what to do? And again, we talked about this. How do you make a good decision in the spirit when the Bible doesn't give you specific, doesn't tell you what job you should take, doesn't tell you who you should marry, right? Doesn't tell you where you should live. But what do? So you pray, you have unity and fellowship, unity with people, you obey the word of God, and it leads to common, using sanctified common sense. Okay, it's what the Holy Spirit life is. All right, and again, that's something, I just want to encourage you too, if you missed last week, go online, right, bridgecitypgh.com, go to messages and listen to it, because we're laying foundation week to week in this series of the book of Acts. So I encourage you to take opportunity to do that. Okay, now, back to verse 1, it says the disciples stayed together 10 days. Can't help but wonder, how many left? How many didn't wait? There were 120, we see. Over 500 saw him at one time alive on the other side of the grave. Right? People saw him. But in a way, I'm thinking, what happened to the other 380? And here's this question that is most provoking. Which group would you be in? Would you be in the 380 or the 120? I can't help but wonder. Guys, because remember, they didn't know how long. Jesus just said, wait. He didn't say, wait till Pentecost. They're just waiting. When's he going to come? He said something was going to happen. I can't wait. I got to get to work. I can't wait. I got to get back home. Right? It's one of those questions that kind of unnerves me. Because I know, how ADD I can be. Right? And I'm like, after about 3 days, I'd be like, out. Let me know what happens. Right? Who's with me on that? I get concerned, man. I wouldn't wait. And one thing we got to catch, listen, is so often the Father has us wait. And we don't like to wait. Probably everyone in this room right now is waiting for God to reveal something. I'm waiting. And we got to recognize this is part of what God does. See, but those who are hungry for the Lord, think about that context. Those who are hungry, like as the deer pants for the water, my soul pants for God. That's Psalm 42. David wrote that. I've got to have him. Those who are hungry will wait. Say, nope, no. He said, I'm going to trust him. He said he'll never leave or forsake me. I trust him. He said he will provide for me. I trust him. He said, so be encouraged and recognize waiting is part of the process, man. And again, because how often we say, how long, God? But he says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Isaiah 40 said, you'll renew strength if you wait, okay? The same way that it says in Galatians, Paul said, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary doing the right thing, because you will reap if you wait. How about those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength? Be still. Know that I am God. Be still and just know. You have need of endurance. We're told that all the time. Man, and the thing with God, and so often, and it was with the disciples here, and catch this. We're running for God and waiting on God. It's like running laps on a track. Just running laps. And the thing about running laps is everyone looks the same. Everyone looks the same. Just got to keep running laps, because the last lap in your wait with God will look just like the first one. So often, right? They got up this day. They were praying the same way they had the other 9 days. But something happened this time. Okay, so God, teach us to wait. Teach us that we need to be still and allow him room. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. That's a word for a couple of you, because there's things that you're growing weary waiting. Okay? No. God, you said it. I believe it. I know you are who you said you are. I will wait. Amen? All right, let's go on. Verse 2. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Okay, so again, suddenly, everything appeared the same. Suddenly, this wild thing happens. This wild thing happens. It says that it was like, again, they're trying to describe something supernatural. Right? They're trying to describe to the best of their ability. Because they're in a closed room and there's a rushing wind. That's odd, right? Okay, there's no air conditioner. There's no artificial way. Something supernatural has happened. And the only way they can describe what they could see was like fire above heads. It was fire. There was fire, like tongues of fire. I mean, and I'm sure when they explained it in the first century, they didn't believe it. Okay, and we have those issues 2,000 years later. Okay, man, like what is going on in this moment in time? Now, I do want to say to you though, I don't think it was as outlandish to the disciples, because remember these are the guys that they 12 of them anyway. They were in a boat, and watched Jesus command a storm to stop. Right? They saw some wild things. They saw him walk on water where they thought he was a ghost, it says. Right? They also already had him a few weeks earlier, after he was crucified, appear to them in a closed room and show them his hands and feet and have a meal with them. Right? So they saw some wild stuff. I think to them, it wasn't as wild as it is to you and I. Right? Because they had seen these things. Their minds were open. On such things. And I believe they would have been more readily accepting of the oddness and this thing about speaking in other languages. I mean, Jesus had said you're going to speak in other tongues. He had told them that type of thing would happen. All right. And now here's the thing. See, I believe they had a deeper understanding of what would happen. Our problem is so often God wants to do things in our lives and we can't see it because he doesn't look the way we believe he should. God's trying to speak. And we're saying, nope, that's not, that can't be God. Or God doesn't do it that way. God will do things the way God pleases. Right? That's reality. I mean, there are some wild stories in the Old Testament. A couple of wild ones in the New Testament. But there's some wild stories in the Old Testament what God had people do. Right? And again, we have to be open to God does not do things your way. And we can sit here and say, well, I just can't believe in this tongues thing. Well, I listen, all I can tell you is what the book says. The book says it. All right? So again, your problem isn't with me. But you can't just put God in your box and say he has to speak and act the way that I feel he should speak and act, because that's all I've ever known. Because, man, you are missing out on so much. And, again, I want my box broken of understanding of God that I can get more. Because he's way bigger than what I can ask or think. I can't conceive how good he is. Amen? Don't limit him. Don't limit what's going on here. Okay, God, help us, Lord. Man, help us see how you're working. You know, again, we look at our difficulties, look at our circumstances, and we're always looking about how it affects us. Man, he's just saying, no, trust me. Trust me and be open to me doing the thing I want to do the way I want to do it. Isn't it good? Think about it, though. Isn't it good God's not held to your perception of him? Man, because your perception's so small. It's so small. God's so much bigger than that. So much bigger. Oh, amen. Okay, so this is what's happened. And this thing has now happened, and they're speaking in other tongues. And what happens? Man, they start turning the world upside down. Going forward here in verse 5. Do we have verse? We don't have verse 3. We have verse 5 and 6. Okay. At the time of this happening, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken to the believers. And it says, of course, they were amazed. And let's go on to that next slide. And we're going to pick it up just in verse 9. This is what they were saying. It says, you know, we're from all over the place. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from all over. And if you look at verse 11, it says, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. Okay, man, I think they're confounded over what's going on. And again, the Feast of Weeks is what we read historically was the best attended of all the feasts. So there were more Jews there than any other time because the weather was good and it was the end of the harvest. Okay, so there's Jews from everywhere, all over the known world here, and they speak all these different languages. But yet they're hearing these Galileans, uneducated Galileans, speaking in their own language, in what's going on. But I want you to catch this. It's not just that they heard them in their own languages. It's how bold they were. Up to this point, they've been holed up, man. They've been taking a low profile. And they've been fearful. They've been fearful what has happened to Jesus and what could possibly happen to them. And they've been doing the lowest possible profile. But here, the Spirit is poured out, and apparently, it spills into the streets. And I have to feel that they couldn't help themselves. They were compelled by the Spirit of God. This Holy Spirit came. This baptism of the Spirit came. And they're filled with something supernatural that they could not help themselves. Wouldn't you like to have that? Wouldn't it be easy to serve God if you were compelled? Right? Now, one thing I want you to catch above all in this context is that when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the primary work, the first work of the Holy Spirit is to embolden you to witness for Jesus Christ. We see it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, don't leave. I'm going to give you the Spirit. And the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to be witnesses for me. Don't do it without me. Don't leave home without it. You're going to be filled with the Spirit. It's going to embolden you. When you are baptized in the Spirit, you should expect a boldness to come on you. To me, that's one of the evidences that you've been touched by God, that you've really allowed the Spirit to take control of your life, is man, you are empowered. There's something that happens. There's something that transpires inside of you in this context. And again, there was a Spirit-powered boldness that happened. And that's one of the evidences that we have. And let's look at verse 12. Because the world, they can't understand this. Like, how is this happening? And if you recall, a couple of them said, well, you know, they're just drunk. I mean, they're just drunk. They're out of their minds, right? It's too early in the morning, but they're out of their minds. And they don't understand it. Let me just bring this up. Many churches today throughout the world, and certainly in our country, still don't understand the Holy Spirit. You know, they don't understand it. And they have limited views of God and Holy Spirit. And there's confusion. And so they don't understand what's happening in the midst of this time. You know, some believe that the gifts of the Spirit are not at all for today. Like, they're done. That was another age. You know, there's others that believe, well, you received the Spirit when you got saved. Okay, and that's true. You did. You received the Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that when you make a commitment to Jesus, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the family of God. That's reality. Okay, there's an indwelling of the Spirit at that time. Right? And they feel, well, that's it. There is no other thing to happen. But scripturally, to me, it is so clear that Jesus, who in John chapter 20, verse 22, it says that when he first appeared to the disciples, he says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? And when he first met them, day one, of his resurrection, he said, receive the Holy Spirit, is the same Jesus that 40 days later said, don't leave until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is a separate moment in time where God does something else by his Spirit, where we allow him to take full control of us, immerse us in his Spirit. Now, we're going to get into this more at our power conference. The Power Conference is coming up on Saturday, where we're looking to be renewed in the Holy Spirit. If this whole Holy Spirit thing is new to you, don't miss this. Put 3 hours into this. Come on out in 9 to 12, actually 12:15 officially. I'm the last speaker. I'll make sure you're done at 12:15. I'm lying when I say I'm sure. But it's going to be basically 3 hours. But you want to understand this thing? You want to understand this power, this possibility that's available to you? Then get out here and be part of this. Get out here and be part of it, right? We don't have time to do this on a Sunday morning, but you will have that opportunity coming up here at the Power Conference, all right? So, shameless plug. Let's go forward. All right, verse 14. So they're amazed what's going on. Then all of a sudden, it gets explained. Verse 14, Peter steps forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you. fellow Jews, residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Okay? And let's see, I want to make sure I got this right. And we have verse 16 to 19, right? 16, 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. They will prophesy. I will cause wonders in the heavens above. Okay, Peter's addressing the Jews' questions, all right, of what was going on by referring to their sacred texts, their sacred scriptures from the past. He said, look, you know, what, 800 years ago, Joel prophesied this. Joel said that this is going to happen, that in the last days he would pour out his spirit. So he's talking about something that they've been waiting for 800 years. 800 years they've been waiting for this to happen. And he's saying, this is that. This is the thing that they prophesied about. This is it. This is the day. This is the day the Spirit has come. This is it. This is it. Look around. Look around. Look and see what's transpiring around you. And see, because obviously in the 120, men and women are prophesying, not just men. That's huge to the Jewish culture. Revolutionary to the Jewish culture. And it wasn't just the educated. It wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't those in the rabbinical school. No, no, no. This is someone. These guys are uneducated. And it's young and it's old. Everyone is prophesying. This is radical. This turns the Jewish culture upside down. Upside down. That's what happened in this moment in time. As glorious as it is. And so Peter's saying, look, this is it. This is that thing that was spoken of. Everyone is prophesying. It's supernatural. And I can't help but consider, excuse me, what a big day this was for God. Thank you. What a huge day this was for the Lord. Thank you. You know, when I think about in my finite little mind of 62 years of experience, and I think about God and what he's done, and there's some days, as we know it, days that had to mean a lot to God. The day of creation, what a glorious day. The day of Adam and Eve being created, what a glorious day. And then, of course, there was the fall. And then I think the day when he spoke to Abraham, said, hey, Abraham, he said, I'm going to save the world and it's through you. That's what he said. That was a big day. And, of course, he prophesied and his son coming, Jesus being born. Big day. Jesus rising from the dead. Big day. But I'll tell you what, I believe another day that is right up there is the day of Pentecost when he poured out his spirit on everyone. Every day. Think about this, because up to this point, the spirit could only dwell on a few individuals, usually a prophet, sometimes a king or a priest. That was it, just a few people at a time. And now, he says he's pouring his spirit upon everybody. Jeremiah 31:31 has come to pass. If you want to mark that down, look that up later. Where he says, look, the day is going to come where you're not going to need people to teach you because I'm going to write the laws on your heart. And he's going to come and he's going to dwell inside of us. Think, what kind of a day was this for God? Because he's desired all along to have a relationship with Dave and with Liberty. He's desired that. That's what he wants. And now it can happen. About Emmanuel, God with us. This is a big deal. What happened? Where now he says, I will come and I will live inside of you. That excites me. It jazzes me. I can't help but think, but what a huge, huge day that was. And you and I get to live in this reality now. Let's look at this, jumping ahead here. Because what happened? So Peter explained what this was. All right, but there's an empowered preaching happening here. Peter's preaching here in verse 32. God raised Jesus from the dead. We're all witnesses of this. Catch that again. They are what? Witnesses. Jesus rose from the dead. Everything in Christianity depends on Jesus rising from the dead. That's it. Your faith has to be first, not in that God will help me, God will do something through me. Your faith begins with Jesus Christ is God. And he did rise from the dead. If he didn't raise from the dead, then what we're doing is a joke and we're all should be mocked at the end of time. I believe he rose from the dead. There, and he says, we're eyewitnesses. We're eyewitnesses. Now, he, Jesus, is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, listen to this, as he had promised, gave him, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. Again, Peter is making an argument from the sacred text. He says this whole Holy Spirit thing is tied directly to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has done what he has done by dying for us and rising from the dead, he says, now God says, Father says, here's the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and Jesus pours it out on you and you and you and you. Is that good news or what? See, it's all connected. It's all connected to Jesus rising from the dead. And so he's putting this together on this. Jesus is central to what's going on in first century Judah at this moment in time. Man, so God, help us. Help us grab hold of it. Help us catch the reality and how good this is. Acts 2:37, just going forward here. It says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? I just love it. Because again, this is the first sermon that's preached. The first sermon that's preached on the reality of Jesus Christ. The very first one. Think again. I appreciate history. The very first one. Peter speaks this and he says, you know, and it's proven that what really has caught these people is the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other languages. And he says here, what do we have to do? Peter's words pierce their hearts. Pierce their hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit should do through us for other people, is pierce their hearts. Verse 38, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, this promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, those in the future, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Save yourself from this crooked generation. So catch here. Catch here what's happening. Is Peter, really, at this moment in time, in this first sermon, gives the first altar call, okay? Says, you got to repent. You have to turn from the way you were living. You have to turn from the way that you've been living. You need to turn to God, right, and go forward. Now, let's just look at verse 41. It says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized in water and added to the church that day about 3,000 people. So in this one day, all these people here for this Jewish festival, all right, all these Jews here, over 3,000 in this moment have become Christians in that moment in time. In that moment in time where just a few weeks ago they crucified Jesus Christ. 7 weeks later, over 3,000 are saying, I believe he's God. I believe he's the king. I believe he's the Messiah. How wild is that? How wild. And that's the God that we serve. And if he can touch people then, he can touch the people that you care about around you right now. He can. God wants to open us up that we would dare to believe. Think about it. Peter actually gave them next steps. He gave them next steps of what to do. Think about it. Okay? He said, be saved. Repent. Turn from your sin. Turn from your sin. Turn to God. Turn to him. Be baptized in water. Receive the Holy Spirit. God wants to pour out his Spirit. You need the Spirit. And then it says again, and they moved into community. They moved into community, which it gets into here in the end of the book. It says that every day they were meeting house to house. They got into family in the moment in time. And they started to grow. They grew individually in their faith. So individually to the point that, again, they were living such selfless lifestyles, giving themselves away for the gospel. And of course, corporately they grew. It says that God was adding to their number every single day. These are devout Jews. Some of you are saying, man, I got some friends, they're so religious, they just don't want to hear this. Well, these are devout Jews. And their minds were changed. And again, I believe that there was obviously manifestation of the power of God, but I also know this. People really believed that Jesus rose from the dead. They really believed it. I believe if we can really get people to, even in our own witness, if we can get people to really focus on, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is Jesus who he said he is? That's one of the best things we can do in helping people come to a place of believing Jesus is God and making him the leader of their lives. Just to tell people, I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he proved it. I believe he proved who he said he was. Right? We want to see people transformed. Find Jesus. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, help us. Help us catch this. Let's take me to that last slide, Joel. Just take me to that Acts 17. We'll save that one. Acts 17, 6. Okay? And again, just as in closing here, just want to come back to the scripture. Come back to this one. All right? These people turned the world upside down. They turned the world upside down. And some of you are saying, man, my world's already upside down. All right, you're being funny. But reality is he wants you to affect the world around you. You can do it. One of the most amazing things about this is, again, it's not for other people. It's for you. We are to walk by the power of his Spirit. And he wants to empower you to touch others, right? To touch others who are lost. But he also wants to empower you to speak life to one another. You know, just put up those, let's go back to the slides I just said to skip. Just want to do this. Again, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? This will be covered in greater detail at the Power Conference. I want you to just catch this. This indwelling, this filling, this baptism. Okay, first it's a boldness to witness. That's what happens. But he also, he imparts spiritual gifts for ministry to serve one another. I want you to grab that. Grasp hold of that reality. Grasp hold of that. Think about it. What just happened this morning, I believe, as Mackenzie sang and Tom came forward and we all took risk. I took risk sharing with a couple people. Those are gifts imparted for you to help encourage other people. Those are gifts. God gives those gifts. The Holy Spirit does that. I believe he wants to use everybody in here in that way. Everyone. Everyone. I believe he does. I do. He'll do it by his Spirit. Okay, he imparts the Spirit of truth. The Scripture speaks. This is what he does. He leads us and guides us into truth that we will not be deceived. All right? He strengthens our inner man. Whew, wouldn't you like the inner man to be strengthened? I want the inner man to be stronger than the outer man because the outer man can be a real pain. Yeah. Right. I need my inner man strengthened. Second. Next slide. What else does he do? Glorifies Christ, glorifies God. The Holy Spirit helps us glorify God. He makes intercession for us. All right, Holy Spirit prays for us. At times you don't know what to pray. I'm like, God, I'm just giving it to you. Lord, Holy Spirit, lead and guide me. Pours out God's love in our hearts, enables us to walk in holiness. He strengthens us to be able to walk and live this life. You know, so often we get so frustrated. And there's people in this room right now who I know, you get so down on yourself. You're saying, I keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. God wants to help you with that. And by his Spirit, he does that. It's simple. Ask. Ask. You don't have because you don't ask. And I don't have time to tear it all apart, but I can tell you this. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says that you are to draw near with confidence to God because of what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He carried your death, your sin. Took it to the cross, took it to hell, and then rose again. Amen? He paid the price, all right? And it says, come boldly before me that you could find help in your time of need. In other words, he says, come boldly before me and I will help you beat that thing. I will help you with that attitude. But so often, it's so easy to fall back into, oh God, I failed you. I have to deal with this. No. You can't. If you could deal with it, he wouldn't have died. Right? We need him. We need him. He will strengthen us. It's all by his presence and by his power. That's what we have in the Holy Spirit. All of these things are ours. And he says, who wants it? Who wants it? That's what he says. Who wants more of his Spirit? Who wants to have this experience of baptism in his Spirit? That's the question that he has. Fully developed followers are those who turn the world upside down. And again, some of you have turned your world upside down in all the wrong ways, right? Let's do this thing by the power of God. It's up to you to receive it. It's up to you to drink it in. Amen? The Spirit is for us. Here's a problem we have. And we'll close with this. You know, we so much appreciate the freedom we have in God. We appreciate freedom. I appreciate forgiveness of sin. And I appreciate that I don't have guilt. I appreciate I know I'm going to heaven. I appreciate that my life, since I've been following God, is better than it ever was before. Aren't you thankful? That's freedom. That's freedom. But he didn't just make you for freedom. He made you for freedom and for fire. He wants you set on fire by his Spirit. That the things that you've received, the freedom you've received, you could go share with other people. The way you've been set free, he wants the fire in you to set other people free. That's what he desires. That's a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And that's where it gets exciting. If your Christian walk today is boring and dull, it's because you're just living in the freedom side and you're not on the fire side. If it's dull, if you're not excited about this, you're only living with half a loaf. Look, it's not just freedom, it's fire. Fire is where it gets fun. Amen? So right now, listen, it's up to you. It's up to you. I'm going to ask everyone to stand at this time, and we're just going to ask God. I want you to ask God, if you want his Spirit, you want God, fill me, baptize me once again, do it. Do it. Certainly, we're going to do this again Saturday night when we're together in North Braddock. We're going to ask the Spirit to come, but you can do it now, and you do it then, and you do it every day in between. Right, I want to be constantly filled by his presence. And I said, so we're going to pray right now. Really, you're going to pray. I'm just going to lead you. Because he longs to pour out his Spirit. He's just saying, who wants it? Who wants it? Do you really believe it? Do you believe you can have that empowerment? So let's come before him right now. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you, Lord, that your word is so clear on these things. Thank you for clarity, God. And Father, we see, God, that Peter said that what we need to do is we need to repent. We need to ask Jesus to forgive us. And we need to ask and receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. You ask him. It's up to you. I can't make him come upon you. Just encourage you to open up your hands just in a way of receiving. Holy Spirit, come. God, I need you. Tell him, I'm desperate for you. Draw me, fill me up with your Spirit. God, I need supernatural power. I'm tired of my anxiety. I'm tired of my attitude. I'm tired of my laziness. Holy Spirit, fill me. I need compelled. I need compelled. I need your Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me fresh. Fill me fresh. He loves to pour out his Spirit. If you don't ask, you don't want it, don't worry. He won't give it to you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill me. And God, I'm asking, Father, you pour out your Spirit. God, make it evident. Lord, again, and if you want boldness, God, I need fire because I am afraid to share my faith. I don't feel confident. God, fill me with a fire. God, I want to witness of you. I believe you are who you said. Give me words. Compel me in your Spirit. We've got to reach people with the hope of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Father. Again, God, remind us every day this week, we can be filled every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can be seated. Give the Lord a hand.